Something stinks. It's the news, according to me. Good morning, folks. It is Thursday morning. January 26th, 2023. And believe it or not, it is 8:46 a.m. in the morning. I got in at about 2:30 in the morning this morning. But I, you know, because I know I have some faithful listeners out there, I want to make sure that you are provided with some kind of content for you. So I'm creating content. Even right now, as I'm speaking, I'm creating content. That's how content creators work. The content just oozes out of them, and they create it, and they just splatter it into the internet world, and it just goes out there all over the place, and it reaches your ears somehow. The content, and you consume the content. Ugh. All the ooze, everything that oozes from my content creation, you consume with your content consumption. Yeah. It's the CC to the CC. Yeah. Well, anyway, good morning, folks. It is Thursday morning. Some interesting developments. Yesterday was a very busy day. I just did not have a chance to really put a show together at all. I was going to put something together Tuesday evening. Tuesday was a very long day. I had to work about 12 hours that day. Fortunately, that particular job, that particular company is basically over. At least that part of it. I will not be going to Atlanta anymore, probably not for a long time, at least unless it's just for like a one-day deal type thing, one overnight, possibly. Probably won't spend a lot of time there anymore, because that contract is up. I do have some things going on with I do have one more thing I have to do. I do have to go to Allentown, Pennsylvania on Sunday. Just to fill out some, fulfill some other obligations yet with this company, and then that'll be it. I'll be done. I'm going to be switching the companies I work for. I'll be spending a lot of time in Dallas now for the next, for the next couple months. I'll be down in Dallas in February, probably a lot in March, and then I'll be hopefully spending a lot of time on my sailboat in April and May, and then who knows where after that. Probably be in Dallas quite a bit over the next 6 months. At least that's the thinking at this point. So I have some interesting things have happened here. All of a sudden, it's kind of like Me Too. This is the different Me Too movement now going on. This is a secondary different type of Me Too happening now. I don't know if the rest of you noticed this, but this seemed extremely strange to me. And everybody I have talked to on both sides of the aisle, both sides of the political spectrum, if you could call it that, the spectrum, have said, this just seems odd. It seems weird. It's very strange and almost awkward. And what I'm referring to is that all of a sudden Mike Pence, oh, look, I have documents. I found some documents, too. They were still sealed in a box, and I brought my lawyers out. We started going, as an abundance of caution. No, folks, you're so cautious that you ended up walking off with classified documents. I'm surprised to see them there. This smells to me. It really does, and I don't want to besmudge, that's a word, Mike Pence's reputation. But I'm telling you, now who was it that said recently, I think it was Anthony Brian Logan, and I've heard a couple other people say this as well, people who are conservatives on the right, they kind of like Mike Pence. Oh, this was, Robert Gouveia even said something about this, the lawyer. He finds this guy really interesting. He doesn't seem like a bad guy, but he's kind of got this kind of very, very, very polished political sense about him. And I don't think people can see past that sometimes. He's very, very good at being the Boy Scout. Okay, I'm just going to say it. You can be a phony in a sense, and I think he's a phony. And here's what I'm saying is, you can be a phony and be leading a double life. In other words, Joe Biden, who comes across and is portrayed by the media as this, oh, just good old Uncle Joe. We know he wouldn't. He just accidentally grabbed some documents and stuffed them in the garage, and then he got some in the other house, and there was some in the other house, every place that Hunter Biden's been. And we haven't searched his beach house yet, but that's where he was this last weekend. So now we can go ahead and we can search that as well. Now that he's had a chance to, you know, take care of anything loose ends there that might have been happening. You know, he was seen, you know, walking in with a shredder. I don't know about that. That's what surprises me, is why is there not, you know, we should be seeing piles of confetti at all these senators' houses right now. Probably will be. Oh, look, I just happened to get a new shredder for Christmas. Go test it out on some old documents out in the garage. Got some old junk out there in some boxes I haven't looked at for years. Since I was a senator 10 years ago. So, interestingly enough, all of a sudden, Mike Pence, who is considered to be the Boy Scout of the upper echelon in the political world, even the left sees him as this do-gooder. He's one of those people who tries to do everything right. You know, he doesn't spend any time alone with a woman without his wife there or without a chaperone. And in the process of this whole thing, he all of a sudden comes out with, oh, look everybody, look at me for a second. I just wrote a book, by the way. I talked about it in my book. Did I mention I wrote a book? I need to go back on the writing trail, or on the book selling trail. Do my tour, talk about my book again, because now I'm in the news again, because I was able to stay relevant here in the midst of this whole thing. Now, there's a couple of different things I think that they're trying to play this thing, and it's whether he had it has classified markings on this document stuff. Now, I've heard two different stories about this thing, and neither one of them, because of the differences between the two of them, neither one of them, to me, it never makes any sense to me at all. Never makes any sense to me. When in this country did lawyers all of a sudden become the purveyors and the curators of all of our nation's secrets and documents, and they're somehow above the law, much like an FBI agent? When did they all of a sudden become capable of handling classified documents or looking for classified documents that can't be released to the public, even though pictures get taken of this stuff and get leaked to the press by the FBI? There's just very bizarre stuff going on here. If you just step back and take a look at it all. And the obvious thing, I have to say, last night, I think it was last night, Tucker Carlson had a show, and he talked about this whole thing. For about 5 minutes, he talked about the Mike Pence thing, and he really nailed. When I first heard this story, my gut just told me this is bizarre. And it is very strange. It's almost, and I'm trying to figure out who he's trying to help here, because it was almost as if this was a planned event, or something was going on. They cut a deal with somebody. Something's going on here. Now, as an abundance of caution, you should have been abundantly cautious before you started taking things home from Washington. That's when you should have been cautious there, Mike. Out of an abundance of caution, we're going through my home here. Now, keep in mind, these are documents that the National Archives apparently doesn't even know exist. Or else they'd be asking the FBI to raid their homes, I'm sure. I'm sure they would be, because that's what they did to a former sitting president. So that they would do the same thing, right? If they knew that Joe Biden had these documents around. So Joe Biden has documents that the National Archives don't even know are missing. Mike Pence has documents that the National Archive doesn't even know is missing. Now, Tucker brings out a really good point on this. Mike was very upfront with this whole thing and very quick to announce to everybody involved that it was going on, what was happening, and doesn't seem to have any fear of being prosecuted for a crime of the crime. And here's the thing. I think and Tucker nails it on this one, too. He says, you know, it really isn't a big deal. The problem is they made it a big deal. They made it a prosecutorial offense when Trump had documents in a skiff in his presidential property that the FBI knew was there. No one told him he wasn't allowed to have them there. He claims that he did, you know, oh, I declassified them in my mind. Now, Whoopi Goldberg, she came out and said, presidents and vice presidents have the ability to declassify documents. No, Whoopi, you're lying again. Vice presidents do not have the ability to declassify documents. They can declassify confidential documents that are their own confidential documents that they generated. They can declassify those or make them public. So there's a difference between confidential and classified. And then there's all kinds of rankings of classifications of classified documents. Top secret, I should say. See, just being classified is classified as what? There's different classifications. It's high level top secret, super duper, super, super, super duper, teeper, super, top secret, tippy top secret. And then there's just the regular secret stuff. And then there's the, you know, there's just, you know, the secrets that I tell my buddies, you know, stuff. Those kind of secrets. So there's different classifications. That's the whole part. These are classified documents. They have classified markings on them. Okay, so what exactly is going on here? And who does it actually help? And there were a couple things I think that they were intending to do with this. One, I believe they intended to help Joe Biden with this, to relieve Joe Biden of the stress he's under right now with this whole document thing. Well, look, it's really easy. If Mike Pence can end up inadvertently accidentally bring home some classified documents, well, then, you know, it's you know, Joe's been in, you know, politics for a long time. He just inadvertently brought some in. Well, you talk to the senators, there's even Democrat senators right now that are shaking their head and going, wait a minute, Joe's got documents that he had taken home from when he was a senator? You can't just walk out the door of the archives in the secure area of the archives and walk out with documents. Now, you realize Sandy Berger, who was stuffing papers down his pants, and the Clintons excused him for that. Speaking of Clintons, putting classified information on a public, on a server that's on the connected to the internet, that has basically childlike security on it that anybody can bust. Hillary Clinton didn't get in trouble for that. No reasonable prosecutor would go after her for that. She had multiple devices. She said she only had one. No, she had multiple devices. She said she only had one server. No, she had multiple servers. But no reasonable... This is the conversation they had with James Comey. He brought up everything she broke the law on and then just dismissed it as if this is not a big deal. Well, here's the thing. It probably isn't a big deal. It's not as big of a deal as they're making it out to be. And that's the problem that they're running into right now is... they're trying to get Trump on this. They made it a big deal. They made it a national... this is treason. How can he be so reckless and irresponsible? Well, he wasn't reckless and irresponsible. He put those documents in a locked area. He knew they were there. The National Archives knew they were there. All of a sudden, being in a locked place there in Mar-a-Lago, or being in a locked place at the National Archives, somehow that's different, I guess. It's a different kind of lock. There's a different kind of access. I think that Trump knows that things probably disappear from the National Archives, or that they can potentially be changed. I think that's why he was keeping them there. He wanted the original documents right there, because I think he has plans for those documents. Now, whether or not he made copies of those or not, I have no idea. No idea. But I know that Crossfire Hurricane was a major crime and major cover-up among the upper echelon at the FBI, which many of them are still there. Many of them are still involved. They may have gotten rid of some of the names and people that we are familiar with because of the text messages and all the other investigations that were going on, but they've replaced them with people who have just the same kind of mindset. Christopher Wray is no different than James Comey was. His presentation is the only thing different. That's the one thing I think they were trying to do, was help Joe Biden. I believe that in the process, they thought there was going to be this collateral activity. And one of the things I think they were hoping for was that President Trump would come out and say mean and malicious things about Mike Pence. That's what they wanted him to do. In the process of excusing Joe Biden, they would get this bonus content. And the bonus content was showing that Joe Biden and Donald Trump are totally different kinds of people. Donald Trump was going to come out and destroy Mike Pence. This was going to be his boost, because everybody likes the underdog. Well, he didn't do that. He came out and defended Mike Pence. And you know, it's not so much the documents themselves with Joe Biden. I think the American people are, there have been some, all of a sudden they're saying, there's a lot that we need to really, we way too classify too many information, too many documents. Everything's over-classified. It's really no big deal. Because there's a lot of documents out there that are classified that just really shouldn't even be classified. That's not what you were saying back in September. Back in September, this was, oh my word, there's a document that's got classified markings on it. This is a big deal. There was no such thing as a little deal with classified markings. Now all of a sudden, there's a lot of them out there. It's no big deal. Well, really, all of a sudden it's no big deal. That's where we're going with this now. But the thing that makes this a big deal is that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were doing deals with other countries that he has bragged about. And Tucker made this comment as well. The FBI knew this stuff was going on clear back a year before the 2020 elections, presidential election. They had this laptop in December of 2019, as far as we can tell. With that being the case, it is just becomes too obvious that the FBI's standard operating procedure is to collect data like this, to hold on to things with people so they have power over those who are politically in place to do things. There's an interesting correlation here between what is happening with our State Department, with our deep state, with the bureaucrats, the unelected agencies that oversee our government, and the Soviet Union and other communist regimes, other collectivist regimes. The similarities here are stunning and stark and very obvious to see when you look at it. When Cuba was overtaken by the Fidel Castro and Che Guevara tribe, rich people, people with money, the wealthy, began to flee the country. They were going to take all of their wealth. They were going to redistribute it and take over the commerce of their little island there. The folks who had worked all their lives, built their wealth up, created things and created this open market there in the, and there was corruption in Cuba. Don't get me wrong. There was plenty of that under the system that they had. That's that, and they used that as a wedge. The communists used that as a wedge to get, and that, just like they're doing here. You have crony capitalism, and all they have to do is start to point that out. Look, oh, this is capitalism. No, it's not. It's not. This is not a free market society. This is a crony capitalist society where you play the game and go along with the powers that be, or you don't succeed. You'll always be a little guy. The state of California. If you leave the state of California, I don't know if the legislation has passed yet or not, but what they're trying to get through is that if you leave the state of California right now, you will continue to be taxed on all of your wealth. Anything that they can connect you to California with. In other words, if you had a business in California and you built that business up in California, you didn't build that. You made that business what it is, and then you leave. You move your business out. You move your house out. They will continue to tax you based on how much you made that was contributable by California. That's the legislation. It's this ridiculous, it's a spaghetti web of everything that they're trying to tax you for there. People are already taxed. I was listening to this. They have one of the highest, I think the highest, if not familiar, if not correct. I think New York State might be the second highest. If you live in New York City, you are paying more taxes because of the city taxes as well as the... Chicago's got to be shortly there, close behind in terms of city taxes. But California has the highest personal income tax, I think, of all the states. By the time you pay federal tax, if you're making much money, and you know, with the average home out there being worth about $1 million, or not worth that much, that's what it costs to have one, you better be making a lot of money to be able to afford a house. And that's their whole goal, is to have everybody just rent a house. You will own nothing and you will be happy. This is their goal. The only owners are going to be their oligarchs. That's what happens here. California wants to penalize people for leaving the state. If you leave, you're going to pay a departure tax, basically, from California. You're going to have to leave most of your wealth because, you know, you made it here because you made it on our backs. We provided all this for you to make you all that money, and now you're... Well, if they provided it, then why isn't everybody making that kind of money? Why isn't everybody successful in business in California? Because there's no equity. It doesn't work that way. Tesla left California. They're trying to go after Tesla to pay taxes back in California for everything that they're making now. Or anything that's attributable to the wealth that they created when they were in California. When you left this state, your business was worth, you know, $40 billion. Now that you've left, we're going to continue to tax you on $40 billion worth of your business. If you make $80 billion, we're going to tax you on, you know, half that. If you make $100 billion, we're going to tax you on, you know, whatever proportion of that. It's just crazy, weird stuff that they think is fair. This is fair, folks. You know, the state you move to is going to tax you for 100% of that. In other words, they're going to base it on all of your income, not based on what you made in California. They're going to, you made that some of that money in California. Well, then, yeah, we won't tax you on that part then. How's that going to work? You see, there's this point of, if you look at the definition of communism, and you see what is actually in not in law, but in spirit anyway, is what is happening here in terms of regulation of commerce. We're pretty much in a communist country at this point. They can't tell you what kind of business to start. They can't walk up to you and say, this is the business that you're going to be in now. There's a lot of communist countries, a lot of communist areas that they don't, you can start a business, you just have to apply and try to do it yourself. Does sound familiar? There's places in this country where you have to apply to get a business license, depending where you want to open your business at. The internet really messed with that. People just open up a business online. We can't tell where they are. It's hard to control that. And it's worldwide. So these are the things that I think are happening at this point in the game. Now, I might have another show later today because I might have a show later this afternoon. I may just be working on show prep for tomorrow morning because, as you know, tomorrow morning is live show Friday. The goal tomorrow morning is to have the show on at about 9 o'clock. Now, I might try to do it earlier than that. I'm not sure what the best listening time is. There's the drive time of the 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock time. It's actually 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock time in most areas. And then there's the people who at work who like to listen to things at work who are able to do that. Then it's the 9 o'clock time. It's questionable as to whether or not which one is the most efficient to get, you know, to reach people or for people, the easiest for them to listen to a live show. So listening to a live show is a little different in its nature, but that's a whole other story. Once again, folks, I'm going to cut the show short here because I do have some appointments this morning I have to get to, but I do want to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, for praying for our country, our nation, for our leaders, and for this whole weird thing that's going on, because it is very weird. I think that at some point, some leadership in Washington is going to have to grow some backbone. It appears right now that Kevin McCarthy may have stumbled across a backbone. Now, I don't know that for a fact, for sure. But he definitely has come out with a very different tone than what I thought he was going to have. However, keep in mind, it is all political theater. Coincidences don't just happen in Washington. Oh, look, I just happened to find some papers here. Out of an abundance of caution, maybe all of us should be looking for, you know, out of abundance of caution, every senator, of course, they're all saying, and Adam Schiff is guilty of this, which is why he's getting kicked off the committee. But that's a whole other story. Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell, and as well as the Foreign Counsel Committee, Ilhan Omar is being booted out. I don't know why he's booting me out. I don't know why. I just because I hate a lot of people. I hate this country. I'm not sure why he's booting me. It's just ridiculous stuff. They started this whole stuff. They started all this partisan stuff. Oh, now it's bad when they're doing it. Putting people on committees. The J6 committee, they didn't follow their own rules. They booted off the people that, they rejected the people that Kevin McCarthy wanted to put on. They rejected them and picked their own. They didn't even say, give us two more. They just said, no, we'll take these two over here. We'll take Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. We don't want Jim Jordan and was it Banks? Yeah, we don't want those guys. We're going to pick our own. We have our own little hand-picked people over here we're going to put on this committee. And it's not going to be as many as we said. And the rules says we're supposed to have this many, but we're supposed to have five, but we're going to give you two. And all of a sudden, they're mad at Kevin McCarthy for years of tradition. You changed years of tradition. When have you ever cared about years of tradition? Well, I've said goodbye once. I'll say goodbye again, because I really do need to go. But folks, once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for just, you know, caring about this country. That's I greatly appreciate people who care about the country, who want to find out what's going on, and not to be anxious about it in any way. We really have no reason to be anxious about any of this. It's one thing to be passionate and concerned and care and, you know, want to do things that might make a difference and change. The biggest thing you can do is be on your knees and pray. If you're doing that, you're doing a lot. And that sometimes will change our hearts to do other things. Sometimes that gives God an opportunity to implant something else in us, put another desire in our heart to be active in a certain way, and not in a politically active way, not like you think of as active in politics, but just a way to be involved, to be solid in the truth, and let that stand inside your heart. There, that's just a big part of it. Folks, have a great rest of your day. Tomorrow morning, live, possibly from the worldwide headquarters. Everything works over there. Sadly, I'm back in my home studio here. I'm actually just sitting on my table recording this from my iPad. That's why you can hear me talking on the table. Very loud. God bless, folks. Have a great day.